గోపి జన వల్లవ గిరివర ధారి జయ గోపి జన వల్లవ గిరివర ధారి యశోద నందన భుజనారంజన యశోద నందన భుజనారంజన యమునా తీరా వందచారి యమునా తీరా వందచారి జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ విహారి జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ విహారి గౌర ప్రేమనంది హరిబో. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే నస్తాప్రయేషవాదేషు నిత్యం భగవత సేవయా భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నాస్తికి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం 10th canto chapter 4 text 3. సల్పతుర్నముత్య కలయం ఇతి విబల సూతిగృహమగతుర్నం ప్రస్కలం ముక్తమూర్ధజ సల్పతుర్నముత్య కాలోయం ఇతి విబల సూతిగృహం మగత్తుర్ణం ప్రస్కలం ముక్తమూర్ధ్వజ సతల్పతుర్ణముత్తాయ కాలోయం ఇతి విబల శృతిగృహం మగత్తుర్ణం ప్రస్కలం ముక్తమూర్ధజ.
So
vai. Saha hi King Kamsa Talpat from the bed Turnam very quickly Uttaya getting up Kala I am he's my death the supreme time Iti in this way Bibbalaha, overwhelmed, Sutigriham, to the maternity home, Agat, went, Turnam, without delay, Praskalan, scattering, Mukta, had become opened, Murdajaha, the hair on the head. Translation. Kamsa immediately got up from bed, thinking, here is Kala, the supreme time factor, which has taken birth to kill me. Thus overwhelmed, Kamsa's hair scattered on his head, at once approached the place where the child had been born. Purport. The word Kala is significant. Although the child was born to kill Kamsa, Kamsa thought that this was the proper time to kill the child so that he himself would be saved. Kala is actually another name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he appears only for the purpose of killing. When Arjuna inquired from Krishna in his universal form, who are you? The Lord presented himself as Kala. Death personified to kill. By nature's law, when there is an unwanted increase in population, Kala appears, and by some arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, people are killed wholesale in different ways, by war, pestilence, famine, and so on. At that time, even atheistic political leaders go to church, mosque, or temple for protection by God or gods and submissively say, God willing. Before that, they pay no attention to God, not caring to know God or His will. But when Kala appears, they say, God willing. Death is but another feature of the Supreme Kala, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the time of death, the atheist must submit to the Supreme Kala. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes away all his possessions, Mrityu Sarva Harashchaham, and force him to accept another body, Tata Dehantara Prapti. These deities do not know, and if they do know, they neglect it so that they may go on with their normal life. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is trying to teach them that although for a few years one may act as a great protector or a great watchman, with the appearance of Kala, death, one must take another body by the laws of nature. Not knowing this, they unnecessarily waste their time and their occupation as watchdogs and do not try to get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is clearly said, apropyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Without Krishna consciousness, one is condemned to continue wandering in birth and death, not knowing what will happen in one's next birth. Omagyanati mirandasya yananjana salakaya chakshurum militam yenatasmai shri gurave namaha mukam karoti vacharam pangum langayate girim yat kripatamaham bande shri gurum dinataranam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanya ishvaram. So King Kamsa, as soon as he heard that the child was born, he got up from bed very much disturbed that here is Kala who has taken birth to kill me. But he was planning to kill Kala to save himself from death. You know the saying, time and tide wait for no man. So when your time comes, who can stop it? You know the Bengali saying, Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. If Krishna wants to protect you, who can harm you? And if Krishna says it is your time to die, who can save you? So knowing that, devotees should not be afraid of death. Rather, we should be afraid to forget Krishna. Now and at the time of death, of course. So, in the Varaha Purana, it is said that even if devotees don't remember me at the time of death, I will enter their mind and remind them of me. I will remember them. We're talking about devotees who have given their life to Krishna, been practicing for many years Krishna consciousness seriously. That favor is bestowed upon them by the Supreme Lord, even at the time of death, because of agony, whatever they can't remember, still Krishna will appear in the mind. And I'll tell you one experience I had personally some years ago. I had to go through surgery, and that was in South America, Venezuela, and gallbladder surgery. But I remember I prayed to Krishna, please, even under the anesthesia, allow me not to forget you. So one devotee was with me, and he told me later what happened, that after surgery, they were taking me to the room, we're going to recover for a few days, and that I was very talkative, talking too much. So the nurse told him, that's normal. Everyone who's come out of the effects of any misery. We are not this body, we are a spirit soul. Don't waste more time. Well, Bhagavad Gita lecture. Anyway, so, and then in the room, I was still unconscious and still under the effect of anesthesia, but I heard somebody chanting loudly the Maha Mantra, and that woke me up. And to my great surprise, I was the one who was chanting. Well, I woke myself. I was chanting unconsciously, without. So I thought, this gives hope, if we practice Krishna consciousness sincerely, seriously, if we pray to Krishna for help, for mercy, then even at the time of death, we can remember, Krishna. That's antakale chamam eva smaram muktva kale varam yah prayati samad bhavam yati nasti atra samshayaha. Bhavita 8.5, Krishna explained that at the end of life, antakale, if one remembers me alone, not that I remember Krishna, but I also remember my family and friends and no. Say only me, Krishna said. Then yesterday I had one Bhakti Briksha program, and they were asking me about Devata worship, because this is coming from family, tradition. they inherit this, they have to. So I told them that you have to understand that if you worship Krishna only, the demigods will be very pleased, because all of them are part of Krishna, they are servants of Krishna. You don't have to worry that they will be angry or will curse you or something. You don't have to worry about this. They are all devotees of Krishna, they will be pleased. And even if it is difficult for you to give it up immediately, then there is a way to do it, more Krishna conscious way. I told one devotee in Panama, somebody gave him a deity of Lord Shiva, and he was worshipping along with his deities of Krishna too. So I told him the way to do it until you are ready to give it up is that you offer first the articles, whatever, incense or lamp, to Gaur Nitai or to Radha and Krishna, and the remnants you offer to the devatas. So you are accepting that they are subordinate to Krishna, not on the same level. They don't need separate worship. But they receive the remnant of Krishna. Like this reminds me one pastime when Lord Krishna was having his pastime as a child in Gokula, Vrindavan. Lord Shiva wanted to have darshan of baby Krishna. But he came disguised, no? As a devotee of Shiva. But the cobras will not leave his company, so he came with them too, because they were great sages who were attached to his company. So they're not normal snakes or anything like that. So anyway, he came like a Shiva devotee, and he came to the house of Yashoda and knocked on the door. And Yashoda came out. "Oh, would you like some food, prasad, you know, money, whatever?" "No, no, no, I only came to see your son. I want to have darshan." And Yashoda told him, "That's not possible. Those snakes around you are very frightening, and my son will be frightened by seeing them, so I'm sorry, I can't allow you." She closed the door. So Shiva was very much sad that he could not have darshan. So he went under a tree and sat down fasting, meditating on Krishna. And so Mother Yashoda was trying to feed Krishna. Krishna will not eat. Since his devotee was fasting, he will not eat. So Yashoda was very worried why Krishna is not eating. So she consulted with the neighbors, gopis, and they told her, "Maybe you displeased the sadhu who came to your home, and that's why Krishna is not eating." She said, "Yes, that's true. This happened." "Oh, then you have to bring him, satisfy him, and ask him to bless Krishna to eat, then we'll be okay." So they found the sadhu, Lord Shiva, they brought him in, and they allowed him to see Krishna. But Mother Yashoda made him stop at 10 feet, no closer than that. "These snakes are very frightening for my son." So Lord Shiva was happy to see his Lord, and Krishna looked at him smilingly, happy to see his devotee. There was some exchange of love between them. But after a few minutes, Yashoda said, "Darshan finish. You have to leave now." But Shiva was not fully satisfied, so he went to fast again. Again, Krishna will not eat, so you have to bring me back again. And Yashoda asked him, "What shall I do to please you so you can bless my son, that he will be healthy and eat all his food and be happy?" Shiva said, "All right. I'm going to stay a few months in Braj, and I would like to come every day to your home. And you should wash your son's feet, and I will come to collect that Chananamrit. I will drink and put on my head every day. If you can do that, I will give all my blessing to your son, to always be healthy and happy and eat all this. Oh, yes, yes, you can do that. We can do that. So even now, in that temple in Nandagram, after bathing Krishna, there is a small temple down of Shiva, and they use that same water to bathe him, to bathe the Shiva Linga, in remembrance of that pastime. So, anyway, the whole idea is that Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasabha Britya. There is only one supreme controller, and that is Krishna. Everyone else is subservient to Krishna. Even Balaram. Balaram is the supreme personality of God, that servitor. He's also serving Krishna. As his seat, as his ornament, as the land of Braja, everything. It's an expansion of Balaram to serve Krishna. So, here comes a fear of being killed. He's calling that Kala, Kala. Here is my death, the supreme time. When Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, when Arjuna asked him in his universal form, who are you? He said, Kalosmi, I am time, the destroyer of the worlds. Because how many big, what you call civilizations, and you know, their dynasties, and have come and gone. With the passing of time, everything is destroyed. Nothing is permanent in this world. That's why the poet Govinda Das, he prays, Edhanna Jovana Putra Parijana Iteke Ache Paratitire Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Tala Mala Bajau Hari Pada Nitire. That what is the happiness in family members and youth and money and all these things? They are just like a drop of water in a lotus leaf. At any moment fall and it is lost. So this life is like that. Knowing that, we shall worship the lotus feet of Lord Hari. So, we should always remember that this material world is a perverted reflection of the reality of the spiritual world. It's a temporary illusion. And to get out of this illusion is not easy. Once Narad Muni went to see Krishna in Dwarka, and he asked him, Krishna, can you please show me how Maya works? Krishna said, Narad, you are my dear devotee, I will satisfy your desire, but are you sure you want to know how Maya works? Yes, yes, I'm very curious to know how it works. Okay. Let's have a walk outside the palace, in our gardens, you know, and we can talk. So they went out, they were walking, and Krishna told Narad, Narad, I'm a little thirsty, there is a nearby well, can you bring me some water, please? There are big leaves, you make a cup with them and bring the water. So Narad Muni went to the well, and in front of him was a young, beautiful girl, taking water out of the well. So she looked at him smilingly, and he helped her to get the bucket out of the well. And then before leaving, she looked at him again smilingly, and he thought, wow, I think she likes me very much. So he followed her behind to know where she was going. He forgot Krishna the water. He saw that she entered the home. So he went after, before she entered the house, she turned back and looked at him again, very enticingly, very smilingly, you know. You know the saying that woman's eyebrow is like the arc, and the eye is like the bow is the eyebrow, and the look is the arrow, yes, the arrow. So that's why they say Cupid has arrows that Kamadev he throws at people like that. So anyway, that what happened to Narad, and then he understood completely, she's definitely in love with me. So he went and knocked on the door, and her father came out. Yes, how can I serve you? Well, can I talk with you? I need to have some important conversation. No, please come, you are great sage, it's my honor to have you at my home, please come. So he came in and he told his daughter, please give him some water, you know, something refreshed. And she came very shy and smiling and, you know, like that. So the father noticed something was going on between these two, you know. So, and then Narad Muni said very frankly, well, to tell you the truth, I'm very much attracted to your daughter, and I think she's very attracted to me too. So I would like to marry her. And the father looked at her daughter, the longer smiled and, you know, looked down, you know, shyly. And one year there was a monsoon, very heavy monsoon, and all the land, even the houses, were covered with water. So Narad had to put his family in a boat, and he was fighting the big waves and the storms, you know. And then one big wave turned upside down the boat, and all the family fell to the water, and they were screaming for help. He was trying to grab one child, and the other child asking for help. The wife, I don't know to swim, and he was desperate. And suddenly the whole scene disappeared, and he was in front of Krishna. And Krishna asked him, where is my glass of water? Water, where is my family? Where is my wife, my kids? What happened to them? Where did they go? And Krishna smiled and said, well, you wanted to know how Maya works. It's only 5 minutes past. Only 5 minutes past. For him was all life, you know. So that's in the Puranas, the story. And then what is the teaching of it? That, of course, I mean to say, nothing wrong getting married, or we're not against that, I mean to say. But the thing not to forget Krishna, no? Not to forget Krishna. Of course, Narad Muni is Naishtika Brahmachari, you know, he made a vow to be Brahmachari all his life, and he did. But this to teach a lesson, no? He wanted to know, so Krishna taught him how this illusion works. So like Prabhupada explained the purpose, that usually people, they forget God or don't believe in God. But when they are in danger, when there is, you know, war, or there is pestilence, or then they ask God's help, you know. They said, God willing, we'll be saved, you know, like that. I remember one joke. One atheist, he went to safari in Africa with his friends. Then he got lost in the middle of the jungle, looking for his friend. He was face to face with a hungry tiger. So the poor atheist was trembling in fear because the tiger was looking at him like, you know, here is my food, you know. So the atheist said, oh God, God, help me. I don't believe in you, but if you exist, please make this tiger a good Christian. And the tiger said, thank you, God, for sending my meal today. Anyway, so it's a fact that nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to get sick or to get old. But these miseries are there to remind us that this life is temporary and full of miseries. And knowing that suffering actually should help people to reconsider their purpose in life, start asking questions. When people are suffering, they tend to ask, why this is happening to me? What is the reason? Why am I suffering? Why I am in this world? So then they start to inquire about the spiritual knowledge. They start to become interested. They are more eager to know. I have this experience when a family member died. They invited me to give a speech. So I went and gave a speech, and they were very eager to listen, about the soul and eternity, and they were asking good questions and so on. But of course, after some time, few weeks, few months, they forget all about it. They go back to their ways of life. But at least for the time being, they become sober and inquiring and all this. So suffering is necessary to be inquisitive, to try to find a solution to spiritual life. We gave a talk in the Romero Center, it was a cultural center, Spanish-speaking people. And the talk was about material problems, spiritual solutions. So I able to talk that material solutions don't last for long, only for a short time. But the spiritual solutions are a permanent solutions because they help us to achieve eternal life, eternal happiness. And that's the permanent solution to all problems. And that's what Krishna consciousness is offering to everyone, this wonderful opportunity. So, for example, in the year 999, a lot of people thought that in the year 1000, the world is going to come to end. So many people were in churches and praying to God. Even the Pope was there all night awake praying. They didn't sleep that night of December 31st. Everybody was awake. The churches were filled with people. They were praying to God, please don't finish the world, And when the sun rises the next morning, the Pope said, yes, God heard our prayers. We were saved. Anyway, so, but the truth is always there is some problem in this world, no? There are three miseries, main miseries. Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika, Adhidaivika, Klesha. Misery of the body and the mind, miseries of other living entities, and miseries of nature, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis, always some problem. Recently there was a big earthquake in Mexico City. Many people died. Devotees were distributing prasad and doing kirtan to give some relief to the people. Many people chanted the holy name and took prasad. And so, Kamsa here, he's very much worried about the child being born. He thought, well, this is Kala, time coming to kill me. So another name of Krishna is Kala, because through his energy, the time, he destroys everything. No, nothing can remain with the passing of time. Like there was one sage, he was blessed to live 7 days of Lord Brahma. That's a lot, you know. A lot of, you know, 1 day of Brahma is 1,000 times 4 yugas. 4 yugas, 4,300,000 years. And multiply, you know, that by 7, that's a lot of time to live. But the sage, the disciple wanted to build a hut for him to meditate, and the hut, he was meditating under a tree. And the sage, no, that's okay, life is temporary. He was going to live millions of years, but he said, life is temporary. Nothing is permanent. Alright, so anybody has any comment, questions?
I'm wondering if you can speak about this point, the story of this Narada Muni, that were you saying that Krishna put him into illusion like that?
Yeah, like the same way that Krishna put Arjuna in illusion to speak Bhagavad Gita, you know?
Right.
They were not in illusion, but they were put in illusion to give some lesson, a teaching. So the same thing happened to Narada also. And only past 5 minutes, he thought it was a whole life, you know.
I'm wondering, if we hear this story, it seems like, you mentioned, like, after you said that we don't say, like, saying not to get married, you mentioned that point, that that's not what you're saying, but it seems like it's like, obvious, like, if you hear this story, it's like you shouldn't get married.
Well, I mean to say, of course, the best is to remain brahmachari, no doubt. But if somebody can't, then should not be hypocrite, you know. But the best, of course, celibacy. Once in Venezuela, actually, one man asked Prabhupada the question. He said, somebody told me that the best thing for a spiritual life is that everybody get married. Prabhupada said, no. The best thing for a spiritual life is that you be celibate. No? Practice celibacy. But the problem is that you can't, and then you become a bachelor daddy. So therefore, then you have to get married. Understand? So of course, I mean, brahmacharis, you have no worries. I mean, only like 10% worries, maybe some mosquito or biting or the prasad, I ate too much prasad today or something, didn't get up in the morning. you just have to worry about paying bills and, you know, get a job, and so it's more difficult to have time for a spiritual life, you know. But I mean to say, Lord Chaitanya had many disciples who were grihasthas, and he loved them very much, and they were offering everything to him. They would bring the children to him, and he would bless them. And so the point is that if one can remain celibate, that's the best option. If you can, but there is nothing wrong in getting married. I mean to say, it's Krishna's plan. I mean, he created these orders of life, so people can gradually get detached. You know. When they have to get up 2 a.m. to feed the baby, change the diapers. That's a way to become gradually detached. So it's sober, to become sober. I mean, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has 11 children, and he's a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. Listen. So, but the story about Narada, that he forgot Krishna. He was absorbed in his family life, he forgot Krishna. He forgot Krishna asked him a glass of water. There's another story about Narada, the tish deposit. Once Krishna, Narad Muni asked Krishna, "You have so many wonderful devotees, simple devotees. I would like to meet one of them." Krishna said, "Yes. Let's go and visit one of my simple, nice devotees I have. But we have to disguise ourselves so he will not recognize us." So they disguised themselves and went to see that devotee. He lived outside town and he had a family, a wife, two kids, and he was working the land. So they arrived in the evening, the sun was setting, and this devotee, he was finishing his work, you know, plowing, and he was chanting while working, Jai Govinda, Jai Gopal, he was chanting the Lord's names. So when they arrived at his home, he welcomed them, "Oh, dear pilgrims, guests, please stay the night at my home. Oh, thank you for hospitality. And are you hungry?" "Yes, yes, we've been walking all day and we're hungry." So he was a poor man. So whatever he will get during that day, that's it. So the wife prepared dinner for the family and that was it for the day. So he gave his own meal to them, to his guest. And then he came after a few minutes and said, "Will you like some more?" "Oh yes, we are very hungry, please." So he went to the wife and asked the wife, "Will you give your meal to our guest?" "Oh yes, of course, we should treat guests as Krishna himself, you know." So she gave her meal too. So he gave them too. And then after some time he came back, "Is there anything else I can offer you?" "Oh, we are sorry, but we are very hungry yet." "Oh, no worry, don't worry, I'll bring you more." So he went to his two children. "Dear children, will you give your prasad to our guest?" "Oh, yes, father." And all the time, Krishna and Narada, they were listening through the wall what their talk was. So they hear the children telling their parents, "Dear parents, you already sacrificed your meal to please our guest. You taught us that the guest should be treated as God himself, you know, atithi, that's called atithi, and unexpected guest, you know. So, if we can make you happy, we can make Lord Krishna happy by doing this. What is the big problem if you don't eat dinner one night? It's no big deal, but we are happy that you are pleased and Krishna are pleased." So Krishna and Narada were listening and they saw them there, you know, hugging each other and happiness. So Narad Muni was impressed. He said, "Yes, they are really very nice, sincere devotee family, you know. I'm really impressed by their attitude, very nice attitude." So next day morning, they have to leave and they saw the sun already rise and this devotee was already working the land, you know, plowing and with an ox, and he was chanting the names of Krishna. So they approached him, thanking him for his hospitality. And Narad Muni asked him, "How many times a day do you remember Krishna?" And the devotee said, "While doing my work, every time I can, I do remember the Lord." "Oh, that's very nice, thank you." So when they left, Narad Muni told Krishna, "Yes, definitely very nice family devotees, no doubt. But I asked him how many times a day he remembers you. He said, every time he can. But I always remember you all the time." "Oh, really? I know you are a great devotee, no doubt. But can you do something for me? Yes, whatever you ask, Krishna. Very good. So Krishna told him, do you see that mountain there? Yes, like a few miles away. And Krishna created a pot, big pot full of ghee to the top. He said, can you put this pot on your head and go around that mountain and come back here without a drop of ghee will fall from the pot? Yes, I can do that for you, Krishna. So he put the pot on his head. He went and came back. Krishna, I made it. Not a single drop fell from the pot. Very nice. Congratulations, Narad. And how many times you remembered me while doing that? Not even once. I was so concerned about the ghee. Krishna told him, see? This devotee, although he has to, you know, deal with so many situations and work, he still remembers me every time he can. And you can remember once while doing this job, so you have to appreciate more the other devotees, you know. That was the lesson. Any other comment, questions?
My question is that Kamsa heard one sound from the heaven, and because of that he took it seriously, and he knew that the eighth son of Devaki will be the reason of his death. So why he killed the seven other sons of Devaki? Because yes, he knew that the eighth son will be the reason of his death.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the question?
The question, why he killed the other seven sons of Devaki?
Why he killed them?
Seven more sons of Devaki?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why he killed them? That's the question?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
I told that the other day, but okay, I can repeat it. Did I say the why? The why? The reason? I did, isn't it? That they were grants, the seventh son is Balaram. He was transferred by Yoga Maya from the womb of Devaki to Rohini in Vrindavan. But the six, they were conditioned souls. They were the grandsons of Lord Brahma. And they offended Lord Brahma. Because of that offense, they were born as Hiranyakashipu's son. So they offended Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu cursed them that in the future your own father will kill you. So they were born as the sons of another demon called Kalanemi. This demon was killed by Lord Vishnu. And Kalanemi became Kamsa. And they, his children, became Devaki's six children that he killed. So he killed his own children from past life unknowingly. But when Krishna released his parents after killing Kamsa, mother asked him to bring the six souls to give love, motherly love. So he brought the six children and she gave breast milk that Krishna already took before going to Gokula. So when they took that milk, they became liberated souls. That's the summary of the story. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. So thank you very much for coming to Bhagavatam class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Bo. Tomorrow is Ekadashi, by the way.